If you have your Bibles, would you find the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. Today, as the Barclay said, we are looking at the prophecies, and the prophecy candle is lit. The first Sunday of Advent, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. There will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. Let's pray together. Father, long before the angel ever came to Mary, from the very beginning, the birth of that baby, that child born unto us, was in your mind. And so, Father, help us to realize that what happens in this world is not simply happenstance. That your plan and purpose for your people and your creation is moving in the direction that you have always intended. That there is evil, there is darkness, there is sin, to be sure. But you have provided a way for that evil to be overcome, for the light to overcome the darkness, and for salvation to overcome sin and death. And so, Father, be with us as we come into this Christmas time, as we celebrate your great love for us. For you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, I was watching a basketball game the other night. The coach had done a good job of recruiting new freshmen. They were all very talented. Some said they were McDonald's All-Americans. They were playing more like Burger King All-Americans. They were not playing very well. And the commentators were saying, the problem that you have so often with freshmen who are that talented is they're not focused. They're not focused. They're used to, in high school, being the biggest, fastest, most talented one on the court, and they could go out there and just halfway play and still be better than anybody else. And so at this level, you got to get them focused. Well, brothers and sisters, it's Christmas time, and part of my job is to help you get focused, because there are a billion and one distractions. Black Friday, was this past Friday. Now, here's the crazy thing. That all got started because you've got Thanksgiving, and you got the Macy's Day Parade, and then the next day, you've got all these amazing sales. Now, Thanksgiving is an American holiday, but they've got Black Friday going on in Germany. They don't celebrate Thanksgiving in Germany, but it's still Black Friday. Why? Because, hey, we can make a euro here, you know. So they're going to do whatever they can to distract you, to tell you about all the great things that you need in your life. And they've got it for 80% off on Black Friday. All of these distractions. So I want to share with you some things on the very first Sunday of Advent. The Christmas Ten Commandments. And I hope we've got that on the screen. Do we have the Christmas Ten Commandments? Yes. It was there. I should have looked there first. Number one, don't leave Christ out of Christmas. If you write Xmas or Chymas, because that's really what it is, then people will not see Christ. Number two, prepare your heart for Christmas. Otherwise, you'll spend too much time focused on the gifts and forget the needs of your own heart. Number three, don't replace Christ with Santa. Now, I like Santa. I've got pictures of me and Santa. We're friends. But don't replace Christ with Santa. Otherwise, the spiritual meaning of Christmas will be gone. Number four, don't burden store clerks, postmen, and other business with your complaints. They just hired this poor woman temporarily. She's just trying to buy a few extra things for her kids for Christmas. She's unemployed come January 3rd. Don't fuss at her. Show her the love of Jesus. Number five, when you give a gift, you're also giving yourself. In this way, the value of your gift will increase 100-fold, and those who receive the gifts will never forget you. Number six, do not value the giver according to the value of the gift. Even a small gift can represent infinite love. Not the amount of the gift. It's the amount of the love. Number seven, do not ignore the poor. Be generous and help those who are hungry and cold. Number eight, do not ignore the church. Worshiping in church on Christmas is very important. Keeps you focused. Number nine, become like a little child, because the Bible tells us that unless one becomes like a child, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And part of that means keeping the wonder. We all have a bit of Scrooge in us. Exorcise the Scrooge. Enjoy the wonder, enjoy the lights, enjoy the sights and sounds, the wonder that is Christmas, that for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. And finally, number 10, give your heart to Christ and make him supreme in all your Christmas planning. Do you know there was a time in British history where Christmas got canceled? When Oliver Cromwell and the Puritans took over, the first thing they did just about was cancel Christmas. You know why? Because it had gotten to be such a drunken party that Jesus wasn't included in Christmas at all. And so rather than having just this bacchanalia kind of Christmas, Cromwell and his Puritans said, no, everybody out of the pool. And later when they were kicked out, Christmas came back in, but it did come back in a bit more Christ-like. Keep Christ in your own heart. Stay focused on him, and you will begin to not be distracted, but to stay focused on what Christmas is really all about. It's easy to do getting distracted. I've said before, Jesus looks at all of us like we're little kids. And how easy is it for little kids to get lost in big stores at Christmas? You take a kid into a big store at Christmas and they've got all the lights going, they got the music going, they've got special displays of toys, and they're holding on, but they don't want to hold on, they want to go see that. And they let go and they get over there and they get away from their parents chasing after the distractions. And in the same way, it's so easy for us to lose that focus and let ourselves be distracted and wander off. And the sad part is, when that happens to us, we risk missing out on the very, very best Christmas gift. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's the big Christmas gift. But you know, on Christmas morning, it's not just what's under the tree, it's also those other neat little gifts there inside your stocking. And God provides other wonderful little gifts for us. Verse 1 tells us that there was so much gloom, darkness, in the time of Isaiah. But there will be no more gloom coming. We're going to look for a glorious, glorious way on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Much like in our own time, gloom was the mood of Isaiah's day. In our own time, going back 60 years, we've been living pretty gloomy. The euphoria over the victorious end of World War II was quickly swept aside by the gloom of the Cold War. Communist forces were sweeping through China and Southeast Asia. The Russians were locking down Eastern Europe. And then the Russians and the Chinese had nuclear weapons. And all through the 1960s and 70s, the gloom of not if there would be a nuclear war, but just when, consumed everything that we did. How many movies, mostly bad, were made about post-apocalyptic life? And by that, they meant life after the nuclear war. Even in Back to the Future, where, you know, Dr. Brown's looking at Marty and saying, "Why are you wearing a radiation suit?" Well, of course, from all the nuclear wars that are coming. It was just a matter of fact. It was a given that long before 2019 that's what would happen. And it consumed everything, the news, the movies. Where did we think that children hiding under their desk at school was a good defense against a nuclear bomb? Well, I don't know about your desk. Mine was heavy enough where it might have done something. I don't know. But brothers and sisters, life on this planet is not determined by the sinfulness of mankind, nor is it determined by the supposed power of nations and armies, but by the power and will of Almighty God. Amen. Unto us, His light will shine in the darkness. Unto us, His light is given, and people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them and sweep away the gloom brought by sin. And you shall multiply the nation, and you shall increase their gladness. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence with the gladness of harvest, and men will rejoice. Men will have joy as when they divide the spoil. God will give us His light, and the result is gladness and joy. That's why most Christmas carols are just that way. Joy to the world. You don't ever hear a Christmas carol going, oh, gloom and sorrow, pain. No, because the coming of Jesus is all about bringing joy into the world. And gladness and peace. The darkness of the gloom is lifted, and we have our hearts made happy, and we can see clearly. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul is writing this from prison. When was the last time you got a letter from somebody in prison saying, rejoice, telling you to rejoice? Because he's writing in prison in Rome back to the church in Philippi. Rejoice in the Lord always, in whatever circumstance you're in. Rejoice in the Lord. Because that light does shine. The sun has been given, no matter your circumstance, no matter your burden, you can rejoice because, brothers and sisters, God isn't done yet. As you go back and you read through the scriptures, one of the things I love about the so-called heroes of the Bible is that they weren't very heroic most of the time. They were getting messed up. They were finding themselves in bad situations. And one of the things over and over again is to see that God's people wind up in jail a lot of the time. Joseph in the Old Testament, Peter, Paul, John, they all wound up in prison. And they're all telling you the same thing. If it wasn't for my time down in that darkness, I could not have been where God wanted me to be in the light. Even though I thought I was in a hopeless condition, God wasn't done yet. And that's not only true of characters in the Bible, but it's true of each of us. Whatever the situation may be, however dark it may seem, hopeless may seem, rejoice in the Lord always because he's not done yet. Brothers and sisters, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. Christ may be crucified and all of his enemies rejoicing, but the resurrection's just over the hill, just around the corner. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And you may feel like you're being crucified. And I've known a lot of people who use that exact description to say, this is what's happening in my life. But my message to them and to you is that, all right, okay, not going to argue with you. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel. But you gotta know that there's a resurrection coming. Just keep on believing. Just keep on having faith. Keep on rejoicing. For unto us, he gives gifts of gladness and gifts of joy. Verse 6 says, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. Isaiah knew that this child was the hope of Israel. Just as the dove had brought hope to Noah and his people on that boat, so now would a new dove of peace, this baby, bring hope to another kind of ark. An ark that is no less lost, with no more sense of direction than the first ark. An ark that is this earth. So what shall we do with this gift given unto us? All too often, the gifts at Christmas we receive are quickly broken or lost or put away in the back of a closet and forgotten. This is sad. Remember, one of the commandments was that we remember how special the love that went into the gift is. Someone went to a great deal of trouble to get this gift. Let's face it, a lot of you are hard to buy for. And so they struggled. Maybe they walked for miles through the mall or got carpal tunnel trying to find something on Amazon for you. But sadder still, as those gifts are so quickly forgotten, is that's how often we treat God's greatest gift. We try to push Christ aside as soon as Christmas is over and shove him back out of sight or abandon him altogether. But you see, Christ is not your typical Christmas gift. He will not remain pushed aside, shoved back out of sight, or abandoned. He is Emmanuel, God with us. We need God's gift of himself, Emmanuel, God with us in our personal lives. As we look for some direction, so often that's the number one question I get from people. This is where I am, but I don't know where I'm going. I need some direction. I need some answers. God is the one. Emmanuel, God with you, that close personal God who's right there for you to help you find those answers, because unto us is given the wonderful counselor. We need God to help us overcome monstrous problems within our culture. Drug addiction, a cultural division that has become toxic. But unto us is given a mighty God. And we need God in our homes to make our marriages not only stick but be wonderful, to give guidance to our children, to teach us to be the better parents that our children need. Because unto us is given that Father, that eternal Father, to us, to show us. How many of you got perfect kids? They weren't over here. They're adorable, but they're not perfect. Ours certainly were not. Are not, still not. But you know what? They don't have perfect parents either, our kids. And neither do your kids. And I look to my Father in heaven, who's so amazingly patient with me. And if he's going to be that patient with me, why should I not be patient with my own kids? If he's going to be willing to let me figure out that the burner is hot on my own, then why should I not be willing to let my own kids find that, so that as I find out that it's hot and I need some care on that now, he's going to give me that care and gently remind me that he told me the burner was hot. But I just had to find out for myself, right? If my God is willing to take the long view with me, because that's part of the story of the prodigal son, right? How long did the father sit and wait for the boy to be coming home? He would have stayed as long as it took. Should I not also then be willing to be that patient, that hopeful, for my own kids? Keep praying for them. Keep watching for them. For unto us is given the eternal Father, who gives us the example we need of how to love our kids. We need God in our homes. We need God in places like Syria, like Venezuela, Iran, Iraq, North Korea, places synonymous with pain and suffering, for unto us is given the Prince of Peace. This was God's gift to us that first Christmas. Unto us he gave himself. Yet he did not come as an angel. He did not come as a pillar of fire. He came as a baby, a little face in the straw, but a face that was filled with hope and promise and a future, carrying as if it were in his tiny fist that little sprig of green eternal life, saying in words that we still cannot comprehend, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Emmanuel, God with us, God's gift of himself to the world, God's way of saying to each of us personally, I love you. Unto us is given the gift of God's eternal love, his eternal hope, his eternal salvation, his eternal self. Amen. Let's pray. Father, life's hard for a lot of people. Really, really hard. Marriages fall apart. Struggles with kids. Security that the world said was secure isn't very secure. And on our own, Lord, gosh, it's tough because so much of it doesn't make any sense to us. And when it doesn't make any sense, it's so hard to even know what to do with it. So often, Father, it seems that marriages struggle because, like Peter walking on the water, we take our eyes off of you. And we get distracted, and we begin to fail. We begin to sink. And we can't save ourselves, let alone try to save a family. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on you in our marriages. Not focused on one another, but focused on you. Because then we can know where to step. Then we can know how to be the husband, how to be the wife, how to be the person that you need us to be. And so often, Father, with our kids, it's tough. Whether our kids are 5 or 65. So, Lord, just give us that kind of hope and that kind of faith and that kind of belief that no matter what our kid's situation, we don't ever need to give up because you're not done yet. We can rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Because you're not done yet. You're not done with us. You're not done with them. You're not done. And Father, in our careers, whether we are actively still working or retired, Lord, it's just so often not what we thought it was going to be. But again, Lord, you know, we may retire from AT&T, but we never retire from you. And we need to find a new purpose, whether we're still working for somebody or we're working for ourselves or we're retired. We need to find our purpose in you. For unto us you have given a plan for our life that we can only find in Christ. And so, Father, at Christmas time, help us just to stay focused on you. Help us just to keep our eyes on you. Not to be distracted or even get kind of lured away by, you know, schmaltzy stuff we see on TV. That's just kind of sweet and nice, but has nothing to do with Jesus. Help us keep our eyes on you, Lord. For unto us, you've given yourself. And so thank you, Father, thank you. And if there's somebody here today that's ready to say yes to you, Lord, let them come. What a marvelous gift at Christmas to receive your gift of salvation, to be forgiven of their sins and begin a new life with Christ. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to be a part of this church. They've been praying and they know this is where you want them to be. Lord, let them come. Maybe there are others that need to come and pray. Christmas seems to be a tough time for a lot of people, a lot of families. And we need to be praying. Praying for one another. Praying for family members. Praying for neighbors. Praying for friends. Praying for people who've lost loved ones this year and this is going to be their first Christmas without them. Praying. So, Father, we just ask that you be with us at this time as we stand and as we sing together. Father, help us to keep our eyes on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Arlene's going to come to lead us as we stand.